From WIPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. The summer before he starts high school, 14-year-old Miles doesn't have much to do but get in trouble. He smokes weed, fights with his younger sisters, clashes with his parents who are divorcing, obsesses over a crush, has few friends, and takes his skateboard anywhere around Baltimore that might pierce his adolescent boredom. We know all this from his diary. It is the just-published novel, Kill Me Now, and author Timmy Reed says the setting is important.
There's a mix of grit and charm and elegance mixed with a toughness that is intrinsic in Baltimore and its many, many neighborhoods that felt like it was part of Miles's character. You know, he's definitely a product of his environment.
It's on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@WYPR.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. The novel Kill Me Now took me to foreign territory. It goes deep into the life of a 14-year-old kid the summer before high school. If you're the parent of a teenage boy or a teacher or a brother or sister, it won't be foreign to you. You'll probably recognize Miles' bored, curious, slightly angry voice and the insecurity behind it. At another level, Kill Me Now is deeply familiar territory for anyone who lives near Baltimore or ever did. So firmly planted in Charm City that Miles tells us the O's are getting hammered before he mentions the full name of the birds in question. Charles Street, Pigtown, Roland Park, Govan's, it's all here. No surprise, the author of Kill Me Now grew up in Baltimore, earned his MFA at the University of Baltimore, and now teaches English at Stevenson University and the Community College of Baltimore County, as well as English as a second language at Morgan State University. His name is Timmy Reed, and he's here with me. Timmy Reed, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And congratulations on Kill Me Now. Tell us about Miles.
Miles Lover is a 14-year-old skateboarder from North Baltimore, sort of stuck living between three houses at the moment that the book takes place. His father's house, which is off Homewood Avenue, his mother's house, which is off Roland Avenue, and the vacant house that their family used to live in, which is on Charles Street, sort of right between the two. So he's in kind of a liminal space, and between, you know, between houses, and also between middle school and a new semester, start of high school. So he's a guy going through a transition, you know.
We are reading Miles' journal.
Yes,
that's the structure of this novel. Why did you use that?
It felt personal, and this book felt sort of like a deeply personal look into sort of one singular character, and so sort of the idea of a found artifact of voyeuristic quality to it. Like we were peering into the life of a 14-year-old boy. It felt like a very close lens through which to do that.
On the first page of Kill Me Now, the first page of Miles's journal, he is telling us about a journal he tried and gave up on years earlier. I'd like you to read us the first paragraph and a half or so.
Sure, my pleasure. This is from the very beginning of the book, as you said, and it's Miles talking about a former journal, his first stab at writing a journal. So, one time I tried keeping track of the things that happened to me in a journal. I figured that I'm going to be old and dead one day, and the only way of making sure that anything would get remembered by me or anyone else was if I wrote it down, and since nobody else could do it for me, I took on the job myself. I charged a composition book on my parents' account at the school store. It had black and white speckles on the cover. It looked like TV static. I wrote my name inside. The first few entries were daily. I would write the date at the top of every one. That sort of detail felt important. Sometimes the entries were short, and sometimes they kind of like rambled, but they were never very good. The journal was boring, because nothing exciting ever seemed to happen to me, and I usually forgot up to write about it afterward when it did. Or I'd try to write it out as accurately as I could, but it'd just end up seeming dull and even sort of made up when I went to reread it.
I got real familiar with that self-criticism running throughout the book. But here's a kid, age 14, musing about how he'll be remembered when he's dead and gone. Is this normal?
I don't know. I think children are concerned with mortality just like adults, even though hopefully they're further away from it. But Miles maybe is particularly transfixed on sort of his mortality and the mortality of his parents throughout the book. I think oftentimes when we're going through periods in which we feel sort of down, and certainly Miles is down on himself and life in general, at least in the beginning of the book and throughout most of it, often those thoughts, yeah, maybe they are normal in those cases. Sadly, though.
In his new journal, like the one he describes earlier, some of the entries are long, some very short. None of these are dated. What are you trying to create in this journal?
Well, the lack of dates on the entries was definitely a very conscious decision. I wanted the reader to have that feeling of getting lost in a summer. The whole book takes place between a spring semester and a fall semester. I wanted the reader to feel like they were getting lost in that period, which is at least how I remember summers. Now I tend to teach during the summer, but the way I remember summers when I was a kid and didn't have to go to school during summer was that you begin to lose track of days and weeks, and then eventually you're not sure if it's July or August anymore. And so I wanted the reader to be able to feel viscerally the way that Miles does. You know, I thought if we put dates on everything that it would take away from that. We'd have more of a sense of the impending school semester if there were dates, you know.
You grew up in Baltimore. Miles grew up in Baltimore. You are white. Miles is white. Is Miles you?
No. Miles is not me, but there certainly are a lot of autobiographical details, and I gave Miles, I think, a lot of the sort of basics of his life. Anybody here in Baltimore that knows me will recognize things from my own life. I grew up where Miles grew up. I was a 14-year-old skateboarder. I switched schools a lot, just like Miles does. But no, Miles is not me. He, as much as we have in common, we also do not have in common. I do feel like, you know, out of all, this is my seventh book that's coming out, and none of the other ones have characters that resemble me as closely as Miles. So I do feel like people will probably recognize elements of my life in Miles, as well as other characters. It was actually something I had to struggle against sometimes, was using my own voice, or even trying to copy my voice when I was 14, because that's not Miles's voice. He's got his own way of speaking and thinking, for sure.
That's author Timmy Reed here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his new novel, his seventh, Kill Me Now. He'll be discussing it with author Madison Smart Bell at Atomic Books next Thursday, February 1st. I loved every single Baltimore reference, but I think if I lived in, I don't know, Dubuque, it might feel kind of heavy-handed. Why is Baltimore so present in this book?
So I've only lived in two cities in my whole life. I grew up in Baltimore, and I went to undergraduate in Charleston, South Carolina. You know, so it's really all I know. And for me, the city was an integral part of Miles's character. There's a sort of mix of grit and charm and elegance mixed with a toughness that is intrinsic in Baltimore and its many, many neighborhoods that felt like it was part of Miles's character. You know, he was definitely a product of his environment. And also, I think a part of it is because he's at an age, 14, where he really is getting to explore the city, not necessarily for the first time, but in a way that, you know, it's an age where you get to sort of assert your independence, you know. You can hop on the MTA and move around town, find different skate spots and things like that. And that, you know, get yourself into some trouble. That's definitely all part of Miles' summer. He doesn't get to go on summer vacations. You know, he stays at home. Hometown boy.
But readers who think they know Baltimore from the national news in recent years, this is not that Baltimore.
No. No, it's the Baltimore that he grew up in. You know, he's a North Baltimore kid. CNN has no reason to cover North Baltimore. I think I certainly wasn't conscious of this. I wrote this book, probably 35 now. I probably started drafting it when I was about 27. I wasn't trying to make any comment on recent news events because they hadn't happened. But in terms of the parts of the city that I show, and Miles gets around a bit, you know, he travels around town a bit, where, you know, a part of the city that you don't see in books very often. That said, I mean, Ann Tyler writes about North Baltimore, but she doesn't write about 14-year-old skateboarders.
For sure. As you mentioned, Miles floats back and forth among his mom's house, his dad's, the vacant house they used to share on Upper Charles Street, mostly because there's a divorce going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of tension in this family, loud fights.
Yeah, another sort of aspect of his life that's sort of liminal and in transition is, you know, that his family, feels like his family doesn't exist anymore. Now, of course, they do exist. They're still alive. But the family's changed. The family structure is in flux, is currently changing. His parents are separated and going through a divorce. They both have a lot of their own problems that they're dealing with, his mother and his father. And also, he's these two twin sisters. In a way, I think sometimes he feels as if they provide a support team for each other, and he's kind of out of the loop on that. And so
they're a couple years younger than he is.
Yeah, they're a few years younger than him. And so, I think, you know, the divorce was it's a major aspect of the book and of Miles's situation. You know, how is he dealing with this change in his family's structure, and you know, that of course leads him to worry about the future. You know, what's the future going to look like for all of us? You know,
and very few of his friends are supportive. His relationships are not very satisfying. Why did you?
To all my friends, they're not based on you. I had very wonderful friends when I was 14, but Miles's friends are pretty rotten to him. And whether they're actually his friends or not, or they're just sort of guys that he knows and he tries to hang out with is because of proximity often, is certainly a question that's up in there in the book. I think a major part of the book, especially sort of moving forward as he meets this elderly neighbor who he befriends, I think a big part of the book and what Miles is one of the lessons I hope he begins to learn, although, you know, we don't ever learn everything completely, and certainly not when we're 14. But I think one of the lessons that he's sort of begins to learn is, you know, what real friendship actually means. You know, it's not necessarily just the people you hang out with the most often. It's people that genuinely care about you. So.
We need to take a quick break here on the record. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with author and professor Timmy Reed about his new novel, Kill Me Now. We'll be back in a few. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast, talking this morning with Timmy Reed about his new novel, Kill Me Now, about a Baltimore skateboarder the summer before high school with all the anxieties and odd behaviors that implies. Reed himself was born and grew up in Baltimore and now teaches English at Stevenson University and Community College of Baltimore County, as well as English as a second language at Morgan State. Is this a young adult book?
You know, when I set out to write it, I don't think I'd ever even heard of the young adult genre. It was pretty new, that term. You know, now, of course, young adult books have been around forever. Catcher in the Rye came out today. It would be, you know, marketed as a young adult novel. I didn't think I'm writing with other teens in mind when I wrote it, and not even through the submission process. My agent and I didn't submit it to places as a young adult novel or to, you know, young adult imprints specifically. But in working with the folks over at Counterpoint,
Publisher,
who are publishing the book, we began to realize that there's a sort of a, it can fit both audiences. So I think, you know, now we're sort of marketing it as literary fiction, but also young adult. So we're hoping it ends up in school libraries and high school classrooms. I think teenagers are a great audience for it, but adults as well. I mean, while a teenager might relate because maybe they're going through a similar situation, I think adults can relate because maybe they're going through a similar situation or because they were 14 once too, you know?
Miles's profanity is not really shocking. He's not extraordinarily creative in the offensive words he uses, but it's very pervasive. And I wondered as I read what your students think of it. Do they influence how you write?
Yeah, I mean, certainly for things that I write now, my students' voices sometimes affect them if I have a younger character. But I also have students, especially at CCBC, that are all ages. Many of them are older than me. And when I wrote this, definitely wasn't affected by any students' language because I wasn't a teacher. I worked in economic development. So if anything, it was affected by the language I heard in boardrooms. not really. It's more just how I sort of, I remember being that age, and the profanity was more pervasive than certainly in adulthood. I think oftentimes kids that age will lean on what they think of as bad words, essentially, as kind of a crutch, you know. And I think for Miles, that part of him is, that surely is part of his language patterns. He's got a dirty mouth, you know.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Timmy Reed about his new novel, Kill Me Now, about a Baltimore skateboarder this summer before high school. Miles' self-doubts struck me as universally adolescent, maybe just universal. Would you read his short entry about people liking him or not liking him on page 40?
Sure. When I was just a little guy, I liked myself pretty good until I realized nobody else particularly liked me. Then I tried to change so people would like me better. Once that happened, I could like myself again. I thought it worked for a while. People started to like me all right, and I thought I could enjoy my own company again. But sometimes, I'm not so sure.
That struck me as so sad.
I don't think it's a very happy sentiment, no. Miles, throughout the book, I think Miles is struggling with liking himself, you know, and with realizing also that that liking yourself doesn't necessarily hinge on other people liking you. He is not a mere reflection of the way his friends treat him, for instance. Sort of an interesting aspect of asserting your independence, I think, is learning to like yourself, to recognize your flaws but not dwell on them. Learn to like yourself despite them. Learn to change them. things like that, where, you know, seem to be healthier attitudes than what Miles has, which, you know, Miles just repeatedly kind of gets down on himself over and over again. In a way, he almost embraces being treated poorly by his friends. He sort of embraces humiliation to a degree. And I think learning to not sort of beat himself up all the time is hopefully a lesson he's beginning to get. You know, he'll need to relearn it throughout his life. I'm sure we all do.
Before the title page, there is a profound quotation from Frederick Douglass, who spent part of his life in Baltimore but seems very distant from the slice of Baltimore in the rest of this book. Would you read that quotation and tell us why it's there?
Sure. It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And so, I mean, the quote is, the quote's there, you know, for the content more than anything. Obviously, it's a beautiful quote. I think it's very profound. You know, I think that it applies to Miles. You know, I think readers hopefully will care about Miles and will hope that, you know, things are going to get better for him, and hope that, you know, he's built strong rather than needs to be repaired as a broken man one day. Then, of course, Douglass, I'm a big fan of Douglass. I teach a lot of his writings and speeches in my classes. Yeah, he grew up in Fells Point. He was indentured there at age 8. I lived there till he was 17, escaped out of President Street Station. But Douglass's narrative of life in Baltimore was one of many influences on the book, particularly the early chapters when he first moves from the plantation and he first gets to Fells Point, and the way he describes it, how vividly he describes Fells Point. And so he was somebody that was in my mind off and on, many other influences. All sorts of ones throughout history. I mean, I reread Anne Frank about 5 times while writing this. Frederick Douglass's autobiography was certainly one influence. Now, obviously, Miles and Frederick Douglass do not have very much in common in terms of their backgrounds, but that might be why, when I was looking for a quote, why he would have popped into my head. But it's also just a quote. And I mean, if anybody had said it, it would have been in the front of the book, because the content was key. But that there happens to be a Baltimore connection, you know, that doesn't hurt, right? So,
congratulations on Kill Me Now.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thanks for talking to us about it. Timmy Reed's new novel is Kill Me Now. He'll be speaking about it at Atomic Books in conversation with Madison Smart Bell on Thursday, February 1st, and in conversation with Jane DeLurie at Bird in Hand on February 8th. Information about both events is at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you've been with us this morning. Tune in tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.